Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is drawn from John 17, portion of Jesus' high priestly prayer, beginning with verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, dearly beloved of God, heard these words a few minutes ago from Deuteronomy. These commandments I've given you today, the Lord said, they're to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk of them when you're at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's the command that the God of love gave to his people Israel as they, after days of and years of wandering in the desert, they were wandering or winding down to a close, and they were now getting ready at long last to enter the land of promise. And it was at this watershed moment of their history that God directed them to take little parchment strips with Bible verses written on, called phylacteries, fold them and insert them into a small leather box, and then use a leather band to tie the box to their foreheads. And he also told them to tie Bible verse phylacteries to their left forearm and affix some to the front entries of their homes. The purpose of this, well, God was wanting to use them as teaching aids to remind his people, they and their children, of the vital importance of having his words always in their minds and hearts as a lamp and as a light to their path all through their journeyings towards heaven. For us New Testament Christians, this practice of affixing Bible verses to our foreheads or posting them by the doorbell outside our front entry isn't something the Lord tells us to do. He does, however, want us to faithfully read his word, study it, hear it preached at his house, to inscribe his word on the tablets of our hearts, because they're still what he uses to direct our steps through the duration of our journey through this desert, we Christian pilgrims, to our heavenly promised land. And so that's our prayer this morning to the Lord, that he would sanctify us and our children by his word of truth, using it to protect us and our children from the world's evil influence and to strengthen and equip us for joyful service in his kingdom. Our text takes us to the upper room in Jerusalem, night before Jesus died, while assembled with his disciples there for the very last time as a group. before walking the painful road to the cross for us, he offered a very special prayer, a big, beautiful prayer, and one petition he included in that prayer, which spans the entire chapter, was, "Father, sanctify my disciples gathered here in the room with me tonight, and do the same, Father, for all my future disciples, both young and old alike, by your word of truth." Now that word sanctify, which Jesus used in his prayer, is a very special one that deserves special attention. And there's a story I'd like to share to illustrate what that word means. Years ago, I was watching a TV program titled "I Shouldn't Be Alive." Maybe some of you remember it from years ago. Told about traumatic events that people experienced in their lives, which, at least humanly speaking, they should not have survived. The episode I was watching, which remains my memory bank, was about a young newlywed couple who spent part of their honeymoon mountain climbing. And right after reaching the summit and celebrating their triumph, "Yay, we made it!" they noticed something bad. Their elation was soon changed to deep apprehension when they saw a big storm brewing in the distance headed right in their direction. So they began a hasty descent to try to avoid that storm, but they ended being stranded halfway down on a narrow rocky ledge, their only shelter from the elements, a small tent which they curled up in to keep warm. They called for help on a cell phone, but no signal. Sent out a SOS text to friends. Morning, they checked to see if their message got through, and they were glad to see, yes, it did. Text was returned to them, "Got your SOS, help on the way." What happened was that after spending 2 days hunkered down on that ledge in their little pup tent with winds howling, snow blowing, in frigid temps, the weather cleared enough so that a rescue helicopter could airlift them to the safety of the lower regions just in the nick of time. Recount that story again to illustrate the meaning of the Bible word sanctify. We were all trapped, spiritually speaking. Our children were all trapped in grave spiritual danger, headed for sure disaster due to our sinful condition in the sight of our holy God. We sin against, and with no outside help for our sin condition, we would have surely perished in hell, all alone from our Father's home. But then he used the message of his word. The gospel, SOS, we might sometimes use that phrase, the law that shows us SOS our sins, and the gospel SOS that shows our Savior to create saving faith in our hearts. And when that happened, the Lord lifted us from danger, rescued us from the blizzard of godlessness blowing all around us, and now we're living in the safety of Jesus' church, the holy Christian church, where we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness for our sins, and a blessed eternal future awaiting us with our Father in the joys, blessed warmth of heaven. So what Jesus was praying for that night in that upper room with his disciples is that his Father keep them in their safe and secure position as his beloved children through his word. Keep them, Father, always trusting in you, looking to me, their Savior, for guidance and for strength in their walk of faith. Throughout his 3.5-year public ministry, of course, Jesus had done just that for his disciples. Remember some of the instances when they got themselves into spiritual danger and physical danger, so they thought at times, like the disciples on Lake Galilee, began to lose confidence in Jesus and feared for their lives in the violent rainstorm on that lake. Mary and Martha, when their hearts became burdened with grief over the death of their dear brother Lazarus. Or when Thomas, one of the 12, was overcome with a feeling of hopelessness after Jesus' crucifixion, death, and doubted that he'd come back to life as the others had said. In each instance, Jesus provided them with guidance, comfort, hope by the power of his word, bolstering their sagging faith, consoling them in their losses, reassuring them, I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And now that he was removing his visible presence from them, he prayed in that prayer that night, Heavenly Father, sanctify them by your word of truth. Keep using it to keep my believers safe from contrary winds blowing all around them in the world. Protect them from the deceptive doctrines of false teachers, from empty philosophies of the world, the evil influences of the world, which Satan is going to try to use to lead them away from me, Father. But keep them safe through your word and trusting me, their good shepherd. Friends, that's Jesus' prayer still today for us and our children. We who live in this sinful world, again, the godless culture, he's praying for us every day, Father, sanctify them by your word of truth. Use the word they read in their home devotions, that they hear preached at church, that my dear little lambs hear and learn in Christian schools, vacation Bible schools, and in Sunday school to safeguard them and keep them from harm. Help them grow, help them mature in their understanding of my word and its application to their daily life. Help them meet successfully every challenge to their faith which the godless culture throws at them. Help them see through Satan's schemes to trick them into neglecting your word and to see the vital importance of integrating your word into the fabric of their lives. Encourage them all, young and old, by your gospel promises. Use them to supply my disciple followers with resilience for fighting the good fight of faith even to the end. And when they stumble, which they undoubtedly will in their weakness, use your word of truth to bring them to repentance, to my cross for sweet forgiveness, for ongoing direction that's going to guide them reliably all the way to their heavenly promised land. What a beautiful prayer Jesus prayed for his disciples and all of us that night. Another important aspect of that word sanctify that we want to speak about this morning, just noted how Jesus uses his word of truth to provide guidance and spiritual stamina for our trek through the world to our Father's home on high. He also prayed that his Father would sanctify his disciples, young and old alike, by his word of truth for joyful service in his kingdom. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them, Father, in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept, and none is lost except the son of perdition, a reference to Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they, my disciples, may have my joy fulfilled in them. I've given them your word. The world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. You might wonder why the Savior prayed for his Father to not take his disciples out of the world. I mean, I thought that was his great desire as Savior. The gracious plan of salvation is to rescue sinners from this world of evil and take them finally to himself in heaven. But instead, we hear him praying that we not be taken from the world. Isn't that a contradiction? In a word, no. Of course, the Savior wants us to be with him where he is. We read that, in fact, same truth later on in this prayer, verse 24. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. They may be with me in heaven. But you see, it's also the Lord's will that we stay right here in the world for a while, that he might use us as his instruments to help and serve those around us in our lives, that we might be a salt to the earth and a light for the world, witnessing our faith to others, that they also might know the joy of being part of his kingdom, the joy of his salvation. They might rejoice in his promises. Like in John 14, also earlier that night in the upper room, familiar verse, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be too." An example I might share in this regard of Christians, in this case of a young Christian serving as a witness for the Lord for the benefit of others. There was once a school nurse who had just finished giving a health talk at Christian school to pupils of her second grade class, and before closing the session out, she asked one of the students, a bright-eyed little boy named Michael, "So Michael, tell the class, what's the first thing we should do when we catch a cold?" He stood up and with an air of confidence replied, "Say a prayer to Jesus." Not what she was expecting. She looked into his eager face, seeing a heart filled with faith, and she replied, "Yes, Michael, yeah, well, that's what we as Christians desire to do. We want to pray to Jesus." Great answer. And then we should also do things we talked about, like drink plenty of water, get extra sleep, eat chicken noodle soup. Friends, that's what Jesus prayed for that night before he died, that his Father sanctify his children, and his disciples of every age level to serve in this way as his witnesses, letting our light shine before others for their spiritual good. And that's why we ask his blessing, we want to continue to do that, on our efforts to train up our children and youth for him, that they might be strengthened to serve the Lord, whatever earthly vocation he has in mind for them, whether teacher, nurse, mechanic, office worker, janitor, computer tech, or pastor, that he might enable them to live in a way that shows forth his praise, that he's made them to be very different from the world, so that under his gracious leading, others might be sanctified by his word of truth and brought into the safe haven of his holy Christian church, privileged to serve him here below, and then finally in his heavenly presence. We pray then in closing, Father of mercies, in your word, what endless glory shines. Forever be your name adored for these celestial lines. Oh, may these heavenly pages be our ever dear delight, and still new beauties may we see in still increasing light. Your word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. breathe.